It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So I'm glad I'm doing this with you now. You were out the day we talked about this, Scott, where Josh had another huge Labor Day party. And we talked about the base of this music. You hear it coming up. It's not the fact that they're playing music. It's the fact that they got the bass turned up so damn loud that Josh felt the music before he saw it. Or before he heard it, I should say.
You guys are so old.
It's oppressive. It felt like a sonic weapon.
You're so old.
You had to have had people in your neighborhood that had the sound. What was it called? The audio box, the sound box, the bass box in the car?
Yeah, of course.
What was his name? Kevin. Kevin, he was a senior and I was a freshman, and he had this. He had a Mercury Cougar. Remember Mercury Cougar? The two-door Mercury Cougars?
I had a Mercury Sable. That was my first car.
No, the two-door Mercury Cougars were badass back in the day. And he had it painted purple, and it was lowered, and he had the glowing purple light underneath it.
The ground effect stuff?
He just had the neon lights underneath. And God damn it, what's his name? Can't remember it. But you would just hear him for just 10 minutes, just driving around the neighborhood. You would have no idea where he was.
You just hear...
But you knew it was him, and it was the coolest thing ever. And it'd be like,
and like when you're in there, are you hearing a song or is it literally just a bass CD?
It's just bass.
Someone told me that that's actually a thing, that there were bass CDs.
Yeah, of course.
No music.
My buddy,
it's just
my
bass
buddy
track.
Had one.
I don't get that, man. I'm trying to get why you would just want to sit in an aquarium of bass.
It's to show off.
Well, this neighbor was showing off to Josh, and you'll hear coming up, we maybe came up with a third Josh Spiegel house party because next year he wants revenge on them as we turn up the bass for Labor Day 2020. We discussed it on Behind the Curtain. Josh Spiegel, put upon. So where were you at? What happened? When did you hear what you heard?
Well, I was at home as usual since I don't leave my house on Labor Day. And just last year, my selfish, inconsiderate neighbor had a loud party just a few houses away with a band. If you want a recap of last year, here's a quick recap. This is what it sounded like Labor Day 2018. I was amused for 2 seconds.
Yeah. What time of night is that?
Oh, this is during the day.
Okay.
But it stretched into the night.
Can
and
I
that's
tell
from
you
your deck, sorry, from no, your porch?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, from the deck.
What's probably more annoying than that, and I got a neighbor that does this, and it's not that the music's loud. Did you have a home theater system with a subwoofer?
I have a subwoofer. I don't know how to work the subwoofer, but I do have a subwoofer.
I'm going to come over. I'm going to bring us some nice deli. I'm going to pretend to know what I'm doing, and I will leave going, sorry, man, couldn't fix it. The subwoofer, there's certain people that just love bass, all the bass they can get, all about that bass, no treble. The sound of the bass that rattles the windows, the music doesn't even need to be that loud. Like, there was a real thing in Waldorf, Maryland. You never met some white trash scum sucker that didn't love a Honda Civic with a bass box in their trunk that would rattle the license plate off the car. You couldn't even hear the song. It was just... Like, how are you listening to that? So you felt the music. Not just heard it, but you felt it in your chest. Now imagine your dog.
Yeah.
Rattling those little bones in his brain.
The dog wasn't happy. He was trying to play with his toy, but was distracted. He was looking around trying to find the source of the noise. And it's not just the music and the laughing and the shrieking and the live band. It's the parking situation. The entire street. I mean, I should have taken a picture. Dozens and dozens of cars just running up and down, driving up and down the street and parking.
Were they parked in front of your place?
They were parked in front of my place, and I was just waiting for someone to park in my driveway.
Oh, man.
What would you have done?
I would have yelled at them. Okay, here's here's from yesterday. This is Love Train.
Worry about that bass.
This is from my house, like five houses away.
And you've pointed out on a map to us off air where this house is. This house is far away. For that saxophone.
Even the locusts are trying to drown it out.
The locusts are screaming.
So I decided. Well, here's another one. So this is going on from like 2 o'clock until 8 o'clock, and they end the evening with fireworks as I'm trying to. And I'm like, this is so obnoxious.
There's no way.
Inconsiderate. So while I'm outside trying to enjoy the beautiful weather, I filed a report.
Oh,
you'd like to
you
hear
did?
This.
Yes, you yes, did. Yes. With who?
Just myself.
Nice. Here
we, roll it.
This is Josh Spiegel reporting from my backyard, where I've been listening to a performance of Love Train for the past 15 minutes. It's extremely annoying, and I would appreciate it if these neighbors would stop making so much noise. As you can hear, the music continues. There is a medley. Seems to be an Anita Baker theme. Very loud. Dog is not appreciating it. I'm not appreciating it. It's ruining my Labor Day weekend. Seems to be some sort of a bongo set being utilized.
We've got bongos.
All right, that's enough. Goodbye.
Okay.
This is second year in a row, right?
So to the day.
So now you know. What are you going to do next year?
I'm going out of town.
You going to barbecue Betty this sumbitch? You going to permit Patty it? You going to stand out front with some of those blue blockers on, flip phone?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I normally just stay in town Labor Day weekend.
You can always plant drugs on the property.
Hey. But it's just so, I cannot stand inconsiderate behavior.
It's that bass, man. It's that bass box. It's giving me Waldorf flashbacks. Anybody from South Hell on the River Styx, Chuck County check-in, how awful was it when you'd have the guy in the neighborhood? And I had so many goober high school friends of mine that had the bass box in the car that would hit. Play the beginning of that clip again and feel the bass here. Feel the bass. Imagine that just nonstop. You can physically feel it in your chest. You're like, okay, if I got to hear your music, whatever, I'll turn my music up. But if I feel your music, F you, man. I should get to go and hit your stereo with a bat.
Yeah, but I get it. So, Josh, it happened. You don't know if it's a one-off, right? People have parties.
It's 2 years in a row.
Now it's 2 years in a row. So, yeah. you have 365 days, but you have to prepare.
You got to set fire
right,
to the
and
shed.
Then they bring in a giant bouncy thing on a truck. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a whole party. And they don't even invite me.
Got to get a blow dart.
The nerve. What were you? I think Hannah has something.
Well, that was going to be my question. Have they ever invited you? Or have they ever given you a heads up? Like, hey,
absolutely
it's going to be
not.
Really loud.
No,
really?
Nothing. Nothing.
See, I have a problem with that.
Yeah
but you wouldn't go.
I might go.
No.
I was, first of all, I was considering going, just crashing the party. And here's what else I was considering.
I brought pasta salad.
what else I was considering, seriously considering,
uh-huh.
taking my Murano, backing it up to the edge of their driveway, opening up the door, and then blasting 98 Rock.
For a crew that is really... really into like the Delphonics, maybe Fetty Wap, Hughes Corporation, who else, the OJs. If you just wailed Godsmack,
yes.
Seether,
yes.
That new song Blow.
Yeah, see how you like that,
see
neighbor.
How you dig it.
Hey, neighbor.
Would you be willing next year? It's been a minute. I think we need to do another Josh Spiegel house party on Labor Day. No, you can't come, so don't ask.
But
just us, and we hire a DJ, and
oh my god,
blow them out.
Bass Nectar.
this is the first time in history I've been excited about having people over. That may be a brilliant idea.
And next year.
Watch, they don't have, they move like in 6 months.
Yeah, and there's just a sweet old lady there who we shatter her eardrums.
Where are you guys going to park though?
Look, there's a public street right at the edge of their driveway. Their driveway kind of is on a hill. So the fancy schmancy people have to drive up. Look, it's a public thing. Okay,
Hannah, you got 1 year to prepare. I need you to find a DJ with like a wall of sound amount of speakers that we can aim towards them. We wait. They fire the first shot. And then after that, it is just nothing but Testament and nuclear assault and Black Flag and all that crap. They want to do it. We're going to do it, too.
Idea. It's a good idea.
And there's going to be pasta salad.
And we got to be louder, too.
Way louder.
We get like three trucks.
God, yeah.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
We might have met a new character on the show, someone that you joined, Scott, on your day off, or like over the Labor Day holiday, essentially, that you played cornhole with. Dude named, it's Sully, right?
Yeah, his name is, technically his name is Sean Sullivan.
Okay.
Nice Irish boy.
Yeah, from Long Island.
Long Island, baby.
This dude, coming up, you're going to hear, the minute you hear him start telling the tale of a victorious cornhole game, you're like, yep. This is a guy that we're going to drink with. We got to have him on air. We've got to have him as a guest bag thrower for another game of Corn Nuts. It's like when you can hear that someone is a good time.
Yeah.
You could hear that he's a good time.
Yeah, this dude's, he's good people. Us Long Island boys are, we're good people. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say we've hit it off. We're not like best friends or anything, but,
yet.
He's, you know, he's a good guy. And,
what's he look like?
He's bald. Bald as hell. I might have to have a conversation
like
with
him. Like tragically bald?
Well, he's got like, he just has the hair around the sides.
Oh, he's got the Gallagher?
Yeah, and it's like really puffy. And then he wears a hat. Like we're at the pool, right? So he's wearing the hat a lot. And you're like, oh, that guy's got hair. And then he takes the hat off and you see the top and you're like, oh.
Just shave it.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like a full bald headed type guy, but the sides are real poofy, but I don't know, man. We dominated cornhole. Him and I are just kind of like little cornhole kindred spirits.
You'll also hear that there's a villain in this tale of another cornhole player who is, let's just call him a real piece of work. Any updates from him? Messages, Facebook posts, subtweets?
I have since friended him on Facebook.
Hell yeah.
I like to lean in. Lean into these
like,
type
hey,
of situations.
I see you.
Yeah.
Hey, I see your ass.
I'm watching
hey,
you.
Remember me? Remember when I snatched your
watching
soul in
you.
Front of the neighborhood?
I tell the, I don't know, maybe you'll hear coming up that he, right before he started playing, I don't know if I told this on the story, you might hear it. I was drinking some sort of a seltzer, some sort of like cucumber lime seltzer.
Yeah, it's, everyone's into the seltzers now.
And he made fun of me and he says, oh, what's, what are you drinking there? You got some sort of girl drink you're drinking? And I said, yeah, it's going to be that much sweeter when I whoop your ass drinking a girl drink.
Boom!
And I whipped his ass drinking a girl drink, so.
Yeah, so there you go. Your low and brow or rolling rock meant nothing against the power of the White Claw. Coming up, we met a cornhole player, partner of Scott's, a champion by the name of Sully. On Behind the Curtain.
Justin Scott and Spiegel, 98rock90line.com.
Ah, yeah. Welcome back. Glad to have you.
Yeah, had quite the weekend. Thursday night, Vampire Weekend at Merriweather Post Pavilion. Amazing concert, amazing venue. They've done great things with it.
How was the opening act, the big heavy set blues guitars?
I didn't see him.
I want to hear about that.
I was getting super drunk in the parking lot. That was Thursday night. Friday, I came to saw you at Jones Junction for a few hours.
What up?
Stella got her hand slammed in the door. I had to take her to patient first. She's fine.
Your fingers.
Saturday, I ran the Charles Street 12. Shout out.
Damn.
Completed that. Then I went to go hang out at the pool. Then Sunday. Sunday was the big day. Had to show up at the pool at 11 a.m. for the big annual cornhole tournament.
Well, hello.
Ooh,
cash and prizes on the line or bragging rights in the neighborhood?
Maybe a little gauge.
Gauge.
A little gauge to win.
Did I tell you I saw a cornhole tournament on ESPN The Ocho, and it was like watching dudes just throw free throw shots. It was just hole, 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 hole. So many dudes just putting it right in the hole.
Yeah, you got to put it right in that hole.
It was amazing watching some of the best to best play it. So you're there.
Yeah, I'm new to the pool. First year at this new pool.
I hope and, I make friends.
Yeah, I'm trying to make friends. And part of that is heading over to the cornhole boards, just recreationally.
Yeah.
Throwing the bags around, you know, and getting to know some dudes.
Put some backspin on that bag?
I do a little side spin. I do a little side spin. And, you know, I'm just hanging. I'm low pro. Just playing, you know, like I said, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Flexing a little skill.
Amateur, not pro yet.
I start to get noticed.
Okay. Like, whoa, this guy's got natural talent.
Over the past few weeks.
Scott got scouted.
And I got saddled up with the guy joining us on the phone right now for a couple of nights, just you know, just out of the pool. We're just throwing him around. Joining us on the phone, we have Sully. What's up, Sully?
What's up, man? How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing good. He played, my buddy Scott, played cornhole with you. And,
well, let's go back to, first of all, Sully, fellow Long Island boy in the house.
Yep. There we go.
So we're like kindred spirits to begin with. But then, yeah, there was one night where you and I just got paired up together. And I think it was pretty evident right from the beginning that it was magic.
It was the Long Island contingent, man. Scott is a beast. He's a beast on the cornhole boards.
Yeah, my balls have experienced that firsthand when we played corn nuts for the very first time, and he put one right through the hole.
So then, yeah, the word of the tournament starts to spread, and you and I kind of look at each other like, you want to do this? I'm like, let's do this. So this past Sunday, you organized the whole thing. Thank you for doing that. It was a lot of work. How many teams were there?
We had 14 teams.
14 teams, Sunday at noon, kicked it off bracket style. First matchup, it's not looking good. I'll say that. It's looking real bad.
Ooh, no.
They were really good. We had a problem, but we got it figured out and took those guys down.
And we took those guys down.
Oh, so you knocked off one of the top seeds right off the bat?
Each round was best out of three.
Okay.
So I think we lost the first, I don't know, we went to three games on that when we pulled out a win.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we just started.
Did you run the table?
We just started cruising, and we found our groove.
Yeah, we just got into our groove, but the teams we played, they were good. They were good teams. We had an on day.
Everybody,
we had a really good day.
Everybody was good. I mean, we beat some really good teams.
All right.
And I'm just kind of having fun. I'm not even really paying attention to what's going on. I'm just playing cornhole.
I'm just playing cornhole. You're throwing bags.
I got nothing to lose. I'm the new guy in town. Everybody else knows everybody.
No one expects you to do well.
I'm just like, hey, you know, I'm just here to have fun. Let's play some cornhole. You know, what's on the line? Some bragging rights, maybe a couple of bucks. So what if I lose? I don't care.
Sully, is anyone there taking it too seriously? Are there anybody there? Because I do the tailgate report for home games, and there's some games of cornhole happening, and 90% of people are having fun, clinking Miller Lights, whatever. But there's always one dude out there that you ain't Jordan Spieth of the cornhole board.
Relax.
Dude. Dial it back.
Yeah. I mean, including myself. You know, when you're in a competitive nature, you know, I want to freaking win.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go ahead.
It was fun, man. I mean, there were some guys that take it very seriously, but it's a pool. It's a pool cornhole league. But it's just, you know, you want to win. There's nothing fun about losing.
Yeah, I had to dial Sully back a little bit. I had to rein him back in. I'm like, let's relax
it's
here.
Because okay,
he was running the tournament, so he was all like scatterbrained, trying to keep everything organized. Then I'm like, let's relax. Let's get going here. So then the next thing I know, the next round is like, I'm all right. Well, he goes, we're up. And he goes, this is the finals. We had made it to the finals.
Yeah.
We had made it to the finals. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to name names, but I did not like the one guy on the other team at all.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, you know, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. He just, you know, like anything, he gets into it. He wants to win, and he's a really good player. really good player.
So is he all butthurt that this new kid on the scene rolls up and he's lobbing back?
He was a little cocky. He tried a little something in the beginning of the game to try to get inside our heads and throw us off. He, like, pitched a little he threw a little fit, and it kind of...
what was the basis of the fit?
It was annoying. We said...
these bags ain't regulation weight.
We said, we'll throw this way, and then you throw this way, and then we'll start. Like, one practice round down, one practice round back, and then we go live. And that's what we did. And he's like, nah, baby, I'm not ready, baby, baby. And I'm just like, all right. He got me hot, Sully. I got hot. I was like, I had to calm myself down. I was like, all right, let's focus in. Long story short, quick work of these guys. Mm-hmm. 2019 Cornhole Champions.
Yeah, baby! Right.
And he was...
Very exciting.
And to speak to what Justin said, he was pretty butthurt, that guy.
Let me ask you, Sully, you organized the tournament. You win the tournament. Yep. Is anybody accusing of chicanery, of hijinks, of, the fix was in?
Of course.
No, it was a fair. I mean, we did it as fair as possible. Actually, placements to where people go on the boards, and everybody it was all in the up and up.
Yeah.
But my wife said the same thing. She said, you know, something's a little fishy about that.
Yeah, and you told her to mind her own.
Yeah, I told her to mind her own business. I said, mind your own business. Okay.
I love this guy, Sully. You know what we need you for?
I love Sully.
Sully,
they're all great.
Is there
minus
a chance?
Mind
that one guy's douchebag. Can you ever come up here to be the guest bag thrower for another edition of Corn Nuts?
You know what? That would be awesome. It'd be so much fun. Anything to Scott. Whatever makes the show successful, I listen to you guys a lot. Absolutely.
My guy.
All right.
We're going to have this guy be our guest bag thrower. We'll give him like 5 bags, and if he drops one right through the hall and crushes our huevos, someone will win tickets for something coming up.
Well, thank you for having me as your partner. Thank you for organizing the whole thing. What does this get me in the big realm of the pool world? What have I done for myself here?
You are the reigning cornhole champion.
And will that pay dividends for years to come, or do I only get, how does this work?
Give you a pat on the back and a handshake and maybe $1.50 snowball at the pool.
All right. I'll take it.
Thank you, Sully. All right, look forward to having him up there.
Felt good.
It feels good to win.
The new guy.
Yeah.
Coming in.
You were the X Factor.
Flexing nuts.
Big flex.
All over. I flexed my nuts.
Weird flex, but cool.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, Sully, thank you, buddy, for taking this care of our boy.
Great.
Sully, you told me earlier in the show that this guy's a character. I need a little bit more Sully in my life.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh found an interesting article about people throwing technology. Cell phones when they won't work, iPads when they won't load, video game controllers when the computer is obviously cheating. And we kind of spun it out into a larger discussion of people throwing things. And I meant to tell the story I didn't that day of a chain reaction. You'll hear a call coming up of a guy that had a really awful chain reaction where he threw like a BlackBerry. It hit the ground and ricocheted. It hit the coffee pot. The coffee pot shattered. A woman freaked out and she quit. I think you know this. The situation where I threw a video game controller and I freaked out a sleeping cat and the cat kicked a remote control into my television and cracked it.
Oh my God.
Brand new LED 55-inch from Best Buy. Owned it a week and a half, and there was nothing I can do because it was 100% my fault. And those early LEDs, those screens, man, those screens were like Swarovski crystal. You could just cough next to that thing and spiderweb it. And I was playing Halo Reach. I was getting my ass kicked by the Covenant. I bounced that controller off the ground. It cracked. Cat wakes up and just proceeds to donkey kick.
Oh, they can be skittish.
They can be. That cat's dead now. And the TV was sold to a man for parts for $50. Retail price, $1,800. We talked to you about times you've gotten so pissed you threw something on Behind the Curtain.
Son of a bee.
Good morning. Speaks? I'm going to let you take point on this bad boy.
Oh, God.
It's
really?
From you.
Does this come from him?
Yeah.
I was out a couple of days, and I looked down at the schedule, and I could have sworn this was from you.
No, Josh found something. He found an interesting study about it. It's based in technology, but this is a much larger conversation.
I thought he did this.
No.
He just found the story.
Hey, talk to him about the TV show and watch it happen. What was it, Josh?
Well, there was this study that I read about, and it said that something like 6 out of 10 people have gotten so frustrated with technology that they've thrown the device.
I don't feel so bad anymore.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, you know, how many people have done that or just thrown something in general.
Hands, show of hands in the room.
Right here.
I mean, who's thrown technology?
Right here.
All of us.
Well, I mean, last week it wasn't technology, but I threw my file thing.
But have you thrown technology?
No.
Does a video game controller count? I mean, that's technology.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. A cell phone, that counts. That's technology. I discused an iPad a long time ago after it just froze and stopped working. It literally just shut down, so I didn't care. It was dead in the water anyways. But I think we're going to kind of expand it even more to just stuff you've thrown out of anger. Just an inanimate object. This is going to come across as a little weird at first, but walk with me here. 9/11, 2001. Everything's going down. The world is in upheaval. And I'm supposed to go to work. My girlfriend at the time is also supposed to go to work. And I'm immediately like, hunker down. We got to do an inventory of canned goods. We got to fill up a bathtub full of water. Planes are falling out the sky. I'm freaking out. You think I catastrophize when you know who comes in here and goes, we need to talk after the show. And I freak out. Wait till you watch your boy turn on the news and see planes falling out of the sky. I'm freaked out. She's just ready to boot scoot and go off to work. And I'm like, you are staying here. You are not going to Forever 21 or where the hell else she was working. I'm like, you got to stay here. We get in this huge argument about me not wanting her to leave because I'm terrified. I think we're at war. And she refuses to understand where I'm coming from. And I take my car keys and I throw them at the wall as hard as I can.
My goodness.
And I must have hit this soft spot in the sheetrock.
Yeah.
They go through
what? The
drywall. I lived in a dump of an apartment. The walls are about Ritz thin and they fall down into the wall.
Like the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah, but if the Kool-Aid man just dove through a sheet of paper. These walls were real thin.
Okay.
So I had to take, a hammer and a screwdriver I had and literally chisel away the bottom of the wall to fish my keys out of the wall. And I felt like such a doofus that, A, I put a hole in the wall from throwing my keys. The walls, if you pushed hard enough, you could push your fingers through this drywall. The place was a dump. And I had to go and hack away at the bottom of the wall where it met the floor to put my hand in there and to fish them back out. And I felt like a doofus because, I had just wrecked my apartment. But I was terrified because the world I thought was ending. People are getting mailed anthrax. It was awful. All right. I think I was justified. Hannah, what about you? You seem to be rather even keeled. When's the last time you threw something? Probably a tank.
I was thinking about this and I don't, it's not really tech frustrations, but anytime I'm frustrated, I use that as an opportunity to chuck my phone across the room. It doesn't have to be frustration
so
about my phone.
So just out of frustration. Yeah. Why always the phone, though? Like, I wouldn't.
It's usually in my hand. I guess that's why.
Yeah, but aren't you afraid you're going to break it?
Nah.
Have you ever done it in relation to us?
No.
Ooh, good question.
Great question.
Are you lying?
I'm not lying.
Come on.
Or, you know.
I bet she's done it in relation to me.
I know it. 410-338-1098.
I'm very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, when you hear your name screamed over the air 400 times a week, it's going to make you want to throw a keyboard.
Yeah, give us a call. Shoot us a text. 410-338-1098. Talking about a story that Spiegs saw earlier in the week that 6 out of 10 people admit to getting frustrated with technology and chucking it.
The computer's cheating! Son of a bitch!
And we're broadening that out to just the last time you threw something out of frustration. But I mean, pretty much on a daily basis with the iPhone trying to type on it. Oh. I mean, I just still can't do it. I'll be typing and then look up and it's just gibberish and autocorrect.
Yeah, I need.
And I'm like, ah!
why do you think I want to tell someone that I don't give a duck?
Right.
Like, I can't tell. I've never typed the word duck. I don't like mallards. I don't know what the hell a bufflehead is.
Yeah, so on a daily basis, I want to throw my iPhone against the wall. Speaking of which, remember I shattered my phone the other day?
Did you see it?
I did. It was bad.
Oh, did you see? Ladies and gentlemen.
That? What is that?
It's worse.
It's awful.
It is now worse.
It sucks so much.
And I've yet to get a new iPhone.
You look like a poor person.
Anybody got the inside track on a new iPhone?
Yeah, hook your boy up. Get him a screen replacement. You know, it's funny that
I need a new phone.
Get him a new phone.
Oh, this is so bad.
Becky Paul, many others, Rodrigo, thank you. You used to be able to take a Verizon VX80 phone, the gray flip phone. You could throw that son of a bitch against a brick wall as hard as you'd want. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing would happen.
You could drown that thing. You could shoot it. You could put that thing in your breast pocket. Someone could shoot you in the chest. Oh, and you'd look and it caught the bullet for you. These phones these days, if a fly fart next to that thing, it'll break. What do we got here? A lot of video game controllers. Karth says he threw a video game controller. What else do we have here?
I destroyed one in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was PlayStation. And I just destroyed it. It might have been PlayStation or Sega. It was in pieces by the time I was done with it. But I felt so good after.
Do you know what feels better than throwing?
I felt the peace. Everyone around me looked at me like I was a maniac. I felt the best I felt in...
Like, I was going to hit one of you guys, but the controller's broken now, so thank the controller.
Oh,
what a release. You ever gripped a controller so hard?
Oh, yeah. I twist the PlayStation controller. It's got those two things. I'll take it, and I'll start to twist it.
And you hear the crunch and crack of the plastic.
I start to crack it, and I just stop.
Oh, no. I've crushed that PlayStation controller. The Xbox One's a bit of a bitch. A PlayStation controller is perfect for that torque.
Oh, yeah.
410-338-1098. Let's talk to Mike on line one, who's been patiently holding. All right, Mike, what did you throw?
Well, I want to start off to say good morning to you guys. I love listening to your show.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
My daughter has a very high IQ. She's very narcissistic. And she's a little disrespectful, and she wouldn't put her phone down, and I grabbed her phone. She smacked at me.
Oh!
I threw her phone on the floor.
Whoa.
Broke it.
Ow!
Just shattered it. And she told me, F you.
Oh!
And I effing hate you.
Oh!
And she went upstairs crying, and the next day I went and bought her a new phone.
And who is this now?
And it's my daughter.
Just your own flesh and blood daughter. Like,
Yeah, she's very bad. She's actually in the honor society. I mean, she's very smart, but she's very narcissistic.
The
genius
mind and the egotistical mind live next door to each other. Yeah. When someone knows they're smart.
Yep, and she's already got plans of wanting to be a doctor, but don't
not
mess
with that
with
attitude.
Her.
No, you're not going to be able to take a scalpel and throw it across the room. This thing's dull. You just wing it into the drywall. Thank you, buddy. No more throwing daughter phones. Let's talk to Tyler, who throws one of the tools of his trade. Tyler, what do you do for a living?
Morning. I work at one of the shipping companies. I'm not going to specify which one out of fear of retaliation. But, so when we unload all the trucks, and we unload all, like, the overstock.com and the big shelves you order from Amazon all the time, we have scanners that scan them before they go into the trucks. And the scanners are absolute crap.
Right.
And all the coworkers just toss them across the warehouses all the time. Dude, not only do you have to look out for, like, the packages coming down, but you have to look out for, like, the coworkers who, like, go berserk at, like, 2 in the morning when they're trying to load these trucks and the scanners aren't working.
Damn, so they'll take a scanner and just be like, this stupid bitch, huh? Doesn't work. Boop, boop, not registered. Boop, boop, not registered. Boop, boop,
maybe
not
that's why
registered.
They don't work, because you all are chucking them all over the place.
Not a bad point. Thank you, buddy. Let's go to Bill on line 7. Bill, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Bill.
So, do you remember the old BlackBerries with the keyboards on them that were like the indestructible BlackBerry?
Yeah, they had the little rollerball on it that you could kind of scroll.
Yeah.
They were great.
Yep. Yeah, loved that phone. Had it for years. And one day I was trying to do something with it while sitting in my office, and it just refused to work. One of the little keys was messed up, wouldn't work, and I don't remember what it was. But I became so enraged with the phone because it had been a problem for the last week or so that I sent it across the office with such force that it hit the Keurig coffee pot on the other side, busted the water tank on the Keurig coffee pot, and knocked it off the counter, and then hit the wall and put a small hole in the wall.
And how was the BlackBerry?
Still didn't work.
Damn.
But the girl that did the paperwork for me in my office that had recently started working for me, after witnessing that moment of extreme rage, decided this guy might be a lunatic, and she quit the next day.
Oh, she walked out because she works with a violent psychopath.
Caught
like you
at your worst moment.
Oh, let's do one more here, and I couldn't agree more with what Kevin did. Kevin, you were completely within your rights, I feel. What happened?
I took a job managing a sales desk, and some old lady was microwaving fish for lunch every day. I took the high road, and I went to her. I said, hey, you know, it's a no-go on the fish in the microwave. She reported me to HR. I offended her.
Brenda, quit reheating your tilapia at noon. The whole office smells like low tide.
So wait, what happened? How does this get to you throwing something?
I had to sit through the whole HR interrogation, like, did you threaten her and all that nonsense? And I said, all right, well, two can play this game. So I called a fake meeting in the conference room, and while they were all in there, I took the microwave and I thrashed it by the dumpster.
Ah, yeah! He threw away the damn thing because she was heating up her grouper all damn day long. Good for you.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So you weren't in for this, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Joe Robinson, myself, and all the Die Laughing Murder mystery people, we had to evacuate a hotel room, and it was our own fault, when one of the guys that we were with, Eric, he vaped a vape cloud that just looked like a steam vent opening directly into a smoke detector. And I didn't know smoke detectors could detect steam. Obviously, smoke detects smoke. I didn't know it also can detect steam. Turns out they can.
Do you not remember what happened in this building?
No.
Because we got a talking to, and we were basically called effing morons because we didn't realize the exact thing that you just said, that a smoke detector doesn't just detect smoke. We were doing the Josh Spiegel lightning round.
With the club and the smoke machine.
Well, it was where Spiegel would rip off all the headlines, see how many headlines he could do in a minute while we were, like, torturing him. So we were going to do one where we turned the studio into a club, and we were going to have a smoke machine bumping and lights going and people dancing.
Yeah.
And he was going to have to read the headlines. So we went out into the annex here at the station, which is like this little outdoor closet type thing, and it has a glass door on it. So we're in there, and we're testing out the smoke machine. And the whole room fills with smoke. We're like, oh, yeah, this thing's working good. This is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, we start to notice people evacuating the building.
Oh, God, I blocked this out. I totally forgot. We set off all the fire crap.
And so people are evacuating the building, and everyone's standing out in the parking lot. We're like, hey, what's going on? Look, all the people are standing out in the parking lot.
Is there a food truck coming?
Then all of a sudden, fire trucks start to pull up, and we go, what is going on? We're not putting two and two together. All of a sudden, Kerry Plackmeyer's like at the door, like wrenching on it. So we open it up. We're like, what's going on, dude? He's like, I don't know. You told me. This place is like filled with smoke, and the fire department got called, and the smoke alarms are going off, and everything's going crazy. And we're like,
our bad.
Our bad. We didn't know. Well, apparently, smoke detectors are not smoke detectors. They're particle detectors. They are able to detect how many particles there are in the air.
Well, you'll hear coming up, this thing detected all of Eric's vape particles, got the fire department called on us.
Same thing.
We had to escape the room, and Joe Robinson, we are still waiting to find out, might have a massive charge on his credit card. Maybe we'll do an update about that this week. Joe and myself had to evacuate a room, and it was all our fault. I'm behind the curtain. Yeah. We can't go back to a hotel in Virginia Beach anymore. Oh, we f***ed up big time. So we do our murder mystery, Die Laughing Productions. If you haven't had a chance to see it, you have all the chances in the world come October. Holy hell. It might be the most packed month of shows I think we've ever done. I think we have 7 on the books.
Six venues, 7 shows.
Wow. Yeah. So come check it out, dialaughproductions.com. But we have a thing we like to do where we will go and do the show. We give it our best, but we can't wait for the show to be over so we can haul ass back to wherever we're staying. We got a handle of vodka. We got a Nintendo Switch, a bunch of cell phones, and we play a game called Quiplash, where, Josh, if you ever were able to read the answers we give in Quiplash, it's essentially Mad Libs. You ever play Mad Libs as a kid?
Of course I have.
There you go. It's adult Mad Libs, except when I say we say the worst things you could possibly imagine about each other.
Oh, really?
I mean about one another. There's no depth we haven't drilled down to insult one another in camaraderie.
Oh, I don't know if I like that.
It gets pretty macabre.
I don't know if I like that.
Hurtful? Okay, and you know why. Because you're banging on me for saying that word too much. You're not wrong. I mean, we're talking about people's dead relatives. We're making fun of people's kids. We're making fun of death. Whatever. So we go back to the hotel this weekend. We're done. We all kick our feet up. We all put on our sweatpants. We all get ready to go. We're going to play some Quiplash. We're going to tear each other down. And then we're about, I don't know, what would you say? How far do you think we made it into the game?
Two games in.
Each game takes, what, 10 minutes, 12
Maybe.
Minutes?
Yeah.
I'm on drink number 2. I'm feeling no pain. And then, what the hell is that sound?
That sound you're playing, that sounds like your favorite song compared to what we were actually listening to, which was a high-pitched,
That sound I just played was Zeppelin.
Hey, Josh.
Compared to what happened.
How long did this fire alarm, which was just a high-pitched note, how long did that play before we left the hotel room? How long did we hear that?
You're asking me what I think?
How long do you think that played before we were finally like, you know what? Time to go.
I'm going
to
say 15 minutes.
An hour.
One hour.
Well, here's what happened. We were responsible. So there was some fear. My name, you know, you give your ID. They have my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to be able to confront authorities to try to at least diffuse it enough to where I'm not going to pay the whatever the smoking charge is on there. So what happened was a friend, comedian Eric Woodworth, he is a millennial and child, and so he's vaping.
Nonstop.
But he's also, he's not just vaping.
He's one ripping of these, cumulus
these
clouds
giant
in the room.
Hiroshima-like clouds, and he is directly under the smoke detector.
And when I say that I was as far away from Eric as I could be in that room, and with every rip and exhale of this tectonic plate steam vent, it would still waft over to me. I'm not kidding. It would be 12 feet away, and I would just see this cloud pass in front of my face. And I guess these were, I thought they only picked up on smoke, carcinogen temperature. I guess this was some new age, top of the line smoke detector. That
it didn't look like it, by the way.
It didn't look like it, but damn if this thing didn't pick up on vape. And he barfed this cloud, I mean, into the vent. And that sound goes off. Here he is, by the way, Josh. I'm going to show you a picture. That's him right there.
Jesus.
Leaning pillows up against it. He stood there for 20 minutes with pillows over the vent trying to dull the sound of this thing.
Well, there was turns. Yeah. Justin also took a turn holding the pillows on top of there. Now, here's the thing. I was worried, right? I was worried more of a charge or getting kicked out, right? I didn't want to have to leave.
I don't want to be sent off
into
the night.
That was my initial fear. My initial fear was that until we looked out the window and here comes a fire truck.
Ah.
Down the road.
Here
and
it comes.
Fire truck is pulling into the parking lot. Josh, do you know what else came?
A SWAT team?
A second fire truck.
A second fire truck was there. Yes.
Are there.
Two fire trucks, middle of the night. We're all drunk. He's been vaping directly into the fire alarm. We're all freaked out. We've called downstairs letting them know, hey, it's our room. Now, Justin thought he pulled himself a clutch move. You know what I did? You know what I did to try and keep them from getting us in trouble? Because my dear friend, and as Joe pointed out, millennial child Eric, was vaping into the smoke detector. I said, hey, someone get me a lighter real quick. You know what I did with that lighter? I set my arm hair on fire.
Oh my
I
God.
Burned my arm hair to say, hey, I was doing a silly and I burnt my arm hair. That's what must have tricked the thing
Are
into going
serious?
Off. Yes, I burnt my arm. That was that level of drunk clutch to where at wow. the time I thought it was a great idea to set my arm on fire.
By the way, do you know what the firefighters said when they came to the room?
No.
They said nothing. They never came to the room.
Never came upstairs.
Yes, not once.
Oh my God.
All it smelled like was vape juice and arm hair
yeah,
in
it,
there.
It smelled so bad. We called downstairs and begged them, can you turn this thing off? Because we're looking down the hallway for them to show up. Heads are popping out of other hotel rooms. What the hell is that? Why is that going off? We call down there. We're working on it. We call down there 20 minutes later. We're working on it. Then they say the fire department has to be the ones to turn it off. They can't figure it out. They have to call the general manager who lives like 40 minutes away.
Well, no, actually, they kept saying 20 minutes every time.
They said 20 minutes three times.
They said it so many times.
Yeah.
Justin actually went down there to see, all right, let me see what I can do here.
Let
you know, he's a take
and,
charge kind of guy.
Let me try and figure this out.
Next thing you know, we look out the window and Justin... All the firefighters, I guess, are in the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all there.
But Justin is out by the fire truck, and his pants are down.
Yeah, there you go. I had my pants off.
Here's a picture of Justin.
Yeah, I thought, you know what'll help this? You know what Tito's said would be a great idea? If I just started doing laps around the fire truck in just my boxer shorts. Didn't help anything.
You're so free. I wish I was so uninhibited.
Oh, boy, yeah, a bit of a showman there.
Well, eventually we had to give up, right? Because
the thing's not stopping.
Yeah, it's not stopping. But it was, Josh, you'll be able to relate to this, at least the anxiety related to it. It was the worst sound, just a brain-piercing note that never stopped. I still
alarm.
Hear it. You're right.
Yeah, because they want to make sure people wake up.
We did. We were up. We were good to go.
So Eric is holding pillows against it, and we're gathering everything up, because as soon as those pillows come off of there... It's this.
Volume quadruples, yeah. And you have to run.
We don't want to. Right. So finally, we gather. All right, go, and we make it all the way out. But right before we're leaving, Eric rips one more vape cloud.
Yes, directly into it. Are we going to talk about the other thing, or is that sort of a is that a no fly zone?
Well, that's, no. Okay. So,
because there was one last indignity that was done before we left that we were. And we love him, and I'd jump in front of a car for Eric, but I looked at him with scolding, fatherly eyes, like, what are you thinking?
I think through the Tito vision that he felt like he was the victim.
He felt like the hotel did this to him.
Like, somehow, I'm entitled to blow my vape cloud wherever I want. You don't tell me where I do
this. The sign says no smoking. Not no vaping.
And there's a picture of a cigarette, not my horrible giant vape that
exactly.
I carry around.
Exactly. He's a freedom fighter.
So he goes, hey, let me tell you what I did. I urinated in the in the upper top. What do you call that?
He did an upper decker.
But with a one, not a two.
Yeah, he went to the bathroom in the wrong part of the toilet right before he left as some sort of last act of rebellion.
Yes, he's like, screw them for not... correcting my mistake.
We looked at him with such a level of, who are you, barbarian, to have done this to this? You set off the alarm, and now you're ruining their toilet, and now we can never go back to Virginia Beach.
Josh.
Oh, God.
At least you're okay.
Oh, that's all that matters.
How's your arm, the arm hair?
Hairless.
Yeah, I can. Which arm was it? You can still see little burnt little bits. For some reason, I thought... In that moment, I was like, this is going to be so clutch. They're going to act, how did you set that thing off? Like, oh, I accidentally set my arm hair on fire. It was so stupid. And none of it made sense.
It'll grow back.
Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So you've had a long-standing beef with the Honda CR-V. And now I think we might have a new category of cars, the smart car. Just smart cars being driven by dumb people. That we have a conversation early in the day. I think it might have been Tuesday. I saw one of these things on 83 right around the JFX. And I'm seeing the thing just get blown around all over the place. And then we opened up the phones to tow truck drivers. We talked to a tow truck driver that said he was able to push one of these things by hand off the back of his truck.
like literally off the side of it.
Just push it. Just like so much cardboard. Have you ever been in one? I haven't.
No, hell no. And through some research and through the discussion you'll hear coming up, the only thing I realized they're good for is just the size of it. Like it would be like parking. That's it. Parking.
Yeah.
Because the miles per gallon aren't much better than any other, you know, hybrid or whatever kind of fuel efficient car you can have nowadays. You'll get 30, 40, 50 miles per gallon. Same as a smart car. So the only real benefit is being able to shove this thing in small places.
Yeah. Well, hello there. What's the BMW one? It's the i3.
Yeah.
Even that one, like if I've got BMW money, I'm probably not buying an i3 unless, of course, I live in like, I don't know, some old European nation where the streets are barely wide enough to get a bike through, much less a car, or downtown where you just never had to leave the city. But I don't understand taking this thing from county to county. You got to feel like you're driving a go-kart.
Right. If you have a smart car as like your everyday commuter and your commute is more than 10 miles, you're a psychopath.
Yeah. Get yourself an Elantra. Get yourself a Civic and get it from Jones Junction. Coming up, we had a discussion about those tiny ass smart cars. I'm behind the curtain. Hey, you found a funny, I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of like, ugh, God, the efforts people are going through right now. Okay. Dorian, it's obviously the talk of the town, what it did to the Bahamas, what it might do to the eastern seaboard as the thing rips up the coast. I think you were telling me, Ava Marie, Scotty Y, they're kind of boots on the ground here for WBAL News Radio, WBAL TV 11. Scotty Wyckoff, he's down at the bridge. And people are kind of battening down the hatches. People are putting the plywood up on the windows. They're bringing their old people in from atop the shed. Grandpa, get down there. You'll catch the death of cold. And you found a guy who, well, he took some pretty extreme measures to protect his car.
Yeah, he drives a smart car. And he basically pulled it into his house. He had like the double French doors.
Mm-hmm.
He opened them both up and pulled the bad boy right in there. Guy parked his smart car in his kitchen.
he pulled it right into the shared room between the kitchen and the living room. And by the way, plenty of space for board game night still.
Says, my husband was afraid that his car might blow away. And my car is in the garage, so here you go. Hurricane Dorian this woman has a smart car in her kitchen. And the pictures are hilarious. That Jess Jean 84.
Yeah, check that thing out.
And
when I see one of these things.
Yeah, that was my whole takeaway from this, is that, and I know we're casting a small net, but 410-338-1098. I saw a woman in one of these cars the other day, and anytime I see someone in one of these cars, I just think they're a psychopath. I'm sorry, I judge. I judge hard when I see someone in a smart car. I don't think they're economically responsible. I don't think they're financially responsible. Oh, that's a wonderful vehicle. That's such a responsible vehicle. That's such a what's the word I'm looking for?
Environmentally friendly.
It's an environment. Look at you. Oh, what a great choice in vehicle. You must really be. No, I think you're a weirdo.
The car runs on soup and leaves.
I think you're a weirdo.
You ever seen a Chevy Spark
on the highway?
Dude, I saw one of these smart cars, one of those tiny little fellas that looks like 2 14-year-olds could just chop block and knock over. And I just saw it on 83. And I get why you might want one if you live and work and exist primarily in a major city. Like if you live downtown, you work downtown, your family goes to school and whatever else downtown, that's it. The thing's got to be awesome to parallel park. It's tiny as hell. But when you're on the highway and you got cars just ripping past you, and you, there you go. I saw this woman on the JFX where 83 and 695 meet up, and I'm heading north to Hunt Valley, and you've got that highway to hell right there for a couple of miles where people on 695 are getting onto 83 and where people on 83 are getting off on a 695, and it's this blender. And man, if you got a Mayflower truck on that thing, you got some big medium duty truck on there, or some F-150, or you got a couple of Escalades, there's like air rush, wind rush. And I'm looking at this little woman, like in between two very large vehicles, like trying to find her way, that if that thing gets clipped by one of them, it's just got to be like crumpled up aluminum foil. Now, I'm talking out of my ass here a little bit because I don't know about the safety features.
Yeah, I don't know much about them either. That's why I want
to roll bar in this
answer
thing?
That call. See, yeah, what
410-338-1098. Do you own one
I don't
of these
know anything
smart
about
cars?
Them. I just listen, I drive a small car. That little Honda S2000.
Yeah.
It's very small. When I park it next to a regular car, even your car,
yeah,
it's dwarfed.
But if you get sideswiped by a Yukon, you're just a greasy spot on York Road. You're donezos. Line two, who's this?
Hi, this is Michelle. I'm calling about my smart car.
Hi, Michelle.
In it? Are you in it right now?
No, I'm actually in my work vehicle.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You have one of these stupid things.
Okay, so I had one of these things.
See? Ah. Did you smarten up?
Well, I'm blonde, so of course I did.
My yeah. girl.
So what happened? Why did you get it in the first place?
Okay, so when they first came out and became big in the States, I crushed on these bad boys hard.
Yeah.
So one year for my birthday, there was a car dealership up the street. My husband was chief of the local fire company, made an arrangement with a guy for me to have it for an hour to drive.
Right.
So I fell in love with this car.
Really?
I did. So a big tow truck passed me. He's coming up a hill, and he looked at me and laughed. I was like, oh, you think so? I dropped her into gear and blew right past him.
Wow.
Loved it. So I guess, you know, they say everything when, you know, time strikes for a reason. On one of the Facebook pages, a military family was selling it because they couldn't move with it.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it, and I fell in love with my car. Now, I live in Harford County. I work in Cecil. So I have to cross one of the two bridges to get to work.
Oh, God, and I'm driving across that thing like a medium-sized sedan, and if I get a nice wind whip,
yeah,
I am double-fisting, white-knuckle, keeping that son of a bitch in the lane.
So what happened? One day, you're going over.
I'm just driving across the bridge, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm minding my business, and because a part of my job is, I have to pay attention to a lot of other things weather-wise and what else I do, so I knew there was winds, and like a little gust caught me, and I was like, woo, that was exciting. So I never got hit. I never had any issues with it. But then shortly after I got the car, I got issued a work vehicle. So it was no longer financially responsible to keep two vehicles because I had my regular vehicle.
Right. But otherwise, would you still have it?
Yes.
You loved it,
yes.
Huh?
I loved it. It, contrary to what everybody says, they are quite roomy. Now, granted, I'm not going Christmas shopping in there, but I can go grocery
Yeah, you're
shopping.
Not going to help a friend move.
We're talking about the smart car. Like I said, my Honda only has two seats. There's nothing behind me, and it's tiny in there.
When you were driving around the highway, did you feel it?
Say again?
Did you feel it on the highway? When you get a big car that would rip past you, when I feel the rush or that big wind whip of some large Mayflower truck that drives past me, I kind of feel it some. Would you feel that in that car? Would you feel like, would that thing start going all over the place?
A little bit, but then I was like, oh, you're going to do that to me? Let me do this. I'll just get right in front of you. And wow. I had no issues with it. I mean, it was so great to be able to like duck in and out.
No, yeah, it's like a little go-kart. I get what you're saying, right. Is it electric? Is it all electric, or is it, what is it?
Yeah. I got like 35 miles to the gallon.
Oh, it is gas.
God, do not look up smart car accident pictures on Google Images. Holy hell.
No.
Ooh, it's like somebody squeezed a can of V8. I'll say that.
What do we got here? We got some calls. Yeah, there's a guy, when Hurricane Dorian was coming, he parked his smart car in his kitchen. So now we're just discussing smart cars, because anytime I see someone in one, I think they're a psychopath.
Is it the Geo Metro of our time?
No.
I mean, a Geo Metro was tiny as hell.
No.
I mean, hold on. Let's look up a Geo Metro.
I mean, size comparison, maybe, but this is a way more advanced vehicle.
Oh, it's far
than
more
Geo
advanced.
Metro.
But if you think back to when the Metro came out.
Maybe the Suzuki Samurai.
What was that other one? What was that really tiny? There's the Geo Metro, and there's another Geo. The Prism?
Maybe.
The Prism was small. One of those ones you look at it. What was the one that years ago when we used to do fun stuff, when they did the demolition derby.
Yeah.
They put me in what? Was it a Prism? It was a Metro. They gave me a car that Evan could drive right now.
Yeah.
And it had just, everything was just the thinnest aluminum. Oh, this is a interesting title.
God, look, it's so weird looking.
Chris, you are a crash reconstructionist?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Basically, crash. Taking a lot of measurements and using a lot of math to figure out how fast cars were going. And who was
Do you work
fault.
For like an insurance company or something to find out like who's at fault?
No, I'm a police officer.
Gotcha. Okay, so you come to the scene, you figure out, okay, you were doing 40 in the 20 and you cut across three lanes.
Here's
you're
the
at
skid
fault.
Marks. The skid marks are so long, blah, blah, blah. Don't give me a nasty story.
No, nothing like that. I just want to say, like, when these came out, the companies tried to advertise them like they were actually safe because they had super rigid bodies and whatnot. And it was all BS because no matter how hard of a shell that thing has, they get into an impact. All that force is going right into the driver. So your organs are going to hit the inside of your body at, you know, 100, you know, 60 miles an hour. Whatever.
Yeah, your brain and stomach are going to be side by side. Dude, I'm looking at pictures of this thing right now.
You need the crumple zone to absorb that, you know, that inertia, that momentum.
It is.
Right.
It's a horror show looking at what some of these vehicles look like after.
Stop looking.
I can't stop. This is amazing. The same part of me that listens to Serial Killer podcast is looking at pictures of smart cars crashing in the backs of dump trucks. Hannah, get a look at that right there. How's that treating you? Huh?
Oh,
you're donezos.
You're done.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Done.
Your waist and legs are in the front seat, and your torso and head are in the trunk.
I mean, I'm looking at you know, the one here, the coupe.
Thank you, Chris.
If you get the high end coupe, it's $26,000. And then when you go buy a car, right, you look at what other cars you can get for $26,000.
You get three times the amount of cars.
You get a whole lot more car.
Okay, give us a ring, 410-338-1098. Continue to hold if you're going to hold. We're going to get some updates on news from Josh, what he's got planned coming up. And then we want to talk to you. Do you own one of these smart cars? You ever crash one of these things? Oh. You ever rip past one and blow it over five or six times?
Hurricane Dorian was approaching at JSS on social media. You can see the photo. Pretty funny. But we're discussing the smart car. This photo of one being parked in a kitchen. Last week, there was a video of in New York City of Shaquille O'Neal getting in one.
How the hell he fit in that thing? Like a shirt?
Fascinated us. I don't think they've really caught on in this country as much as they would have liked. But the smart car, 410-338-1098, call, text. Somebody says, rode in a smart car for the first time last week. I could barely fit, and I was terrified the entire time.
Yeah, I got a couple of messages over here saying the whole, like, oh, no, you'd never have an idea. It's so roomy inside, says the 95-pound, 5'1" person. Like, yes, you put some big Luke Gallows, Yao Ming-looking MF-er in there. You put a big, broad-shouldered, 6'1", 6'2" Spiegs in that thing, it's going to feel like you've got a metal shirt on. So let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Thomas, who's a tow truck driver. You've probably encountered one or two. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, bud. Did you have to tow one of these things or move it or whatever?
Yeah. A couple years ago, I worked for a company, and I would tow cars to scrap yards here and there, and one day I was towing one of them down to the yard, and they had no room for me to just let it roll off the bed. So I just literally tilted it over the side by hand.
No way. You were able to push the thing over.
Yeah, I just rocked it about twice, and it just pushed it right over.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I don't see these, and maybe they do. They use these things in the strongman competitions with your Magnus Ver Magnussons and just see if he can, like, bicep curl a couple of these sons of bitches. Third generation Build Series Smart 4.2 weighs less than one ton. It weighs 1,900 pounds.
My car only weighs 1,800.
Damn, so your thing's even lighter than that. Let's go to Sam, who's been holding patiently on line four, talking about those tiny little smart cars.
Oh, boy, that was fun.
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend had one of those little things, and we decided to drive down a beach. Granted, it was nice to be driving down late at night, like 1 o'clock in the morning, but a nice little storm was going over the bay. And, oh, yeah, that thing ended up sideways.
On the bridge?
On the bridge.
Oh, no, that's you. Just like someone hand me a gun and put it directly into my mouth. Sorry, this is how I go. Yeah, that is... It's scary enough driving across that bridge, especially when you drive on the way back, and sometimes there's supposed to be multiple lanes, but then they'll have like almost all the lanes except for two closed. So you've got them coming head-on direction. Oh, my God. It starts whipping you around a little bit. And that's me driving an Accord. I mean, Accord's got plenty of weight. Let's go to Tim, who has been holding. Tim, we saw a picture of a guy in Florida who parked his smart car in his kitchen.
So overall, yeah, it is a fun little thing to drive, especially in the snow, because, Scott, you can attest to this. It's rear-wheel drive. It is fun.
All right,
other
okay.
Than that, it's just a squirrel cage ready to get crushed. You definitely got a YouTube smart car crash test. When it hits the Jersey barrier, it's hysterical.
Oh, no, I don't want to see any wrecks. I don't know. I just can't understand the mindset of somebody that buys one of these things.
I don't understand the mindset.
Unless maybe you live in the city and you're literally just zipping around a few miles here and there, and you're worried about parking a lot. If you know, parking is an issue in your neighborhood, you could fit these things. You could literally back them straight in.
I've seen people do that. They've backed in. I'm not in person,
straight
but
in.
Photos online of you back into a parallel parking spot, and there might be a foot hanging out, but nothing that's going to block traffic or inconvenience anybody. Right. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Let's go to Dan, our buddy Dan, the officer. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What up?
Just quick story. We had a guy that just bought his brand new smart car, was all proud of it, parked it the evening before, and we got a call the next morning. Apparently some kids had taken upon themselves to pick it up and flip it over on its roof.
They literally reached up and flipped it over by hand.
They flipped it by hand.
No. Why is that so funny? It shouldn't be funny. It's a man's personal property that he earned with his own cash. But still, the fact that you can get a couple of teens to get underneath of this thing on the count of three, flip it. Did you find the kids?
Nope. Suspect still unknown.
Oh, it's a cold case. Oh my God. Honestly, okay. You're a police officer, all right, and you have to have a bit of bedside manner. You have to really, you know, you have to sympathize with people. In your head, are you laughing your ass off?
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah. I'm compassionate, but it was funny.
At the same time, like I want to help you, but I got to be honest, I'm not going to look for them that hard.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
A new addition to the studio, the Doomsday Clock. It's the Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock. You're going to notice it during our show where you look behind Spiegs. There's a clock that's based off of the scientific Doomsday Clock that has a certain amount of minutes to midnight. And once it strikes midnight, it means the world is going to end. And we have a miniature version where our world ends when Josh finally pops and hacks us all to death with a machete. You said something in the middle of it that I'm so bummed you had to say, but you did. I'd love for this thing to just stay in here all day long. We have to take it with us. We have to take it down. You know for a fact, if we kept this thing up, we come in on Monday, it's in the trash, folded in half.
I say we leave it up. Let's see what happens.
Oh.
I know how to put in all that hard work, but think of all the great content it'll provide for Monday when it does wind up in the dumpster.
I think it's going to be Marianne. I think Marianne will take it down. She'll recycle it. Coming up, Josh Spiegel's Doomsday Clock is unveiled. Let's just say you've got yourself a little bit of a temper when it comes bubbling up.
If you am not a priority,
I don't like it.
I'm going to quit.
That's what I'm going to do.
We move into phase two of my operation.
And you're not going to like phase two.
I'm freaking Josh Spiegel.
I'm going to call the 19 Rock Morning Show.
Yeah. So we had ourselves an idea.
By the way, I was in a different space then.
He was going through a breakup.
I'm still in that space.
He's exactly in the same space. So, from time to time, Scott will look over at me, and I'll look over at Scott, and we'll say WC. We go, WC. Wellness check. Hey, how you doing, bud? wellness check. Someone will come in here, start messing with your laptop. You go looking in your files to find the audio that you need for another award-winning newscast. It's been deleted. You go to sit in your chair. Someone has screwed it up. Someone just rams a car into your back and decides to ruin your spine for many, many years. You're put upon. So, Hannah, what was the initial idea that this spun out to?
Well, it was based off of, like, a kindergarten weather board. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like kind how you're feeling. Where, like, I'm feeling like a rain cloud board. Today.
Sure.
I'm feeling sunshiny.
Or you kind of, or an actual weather board where you go outside, look around, come back in and say, okay, it's cloudy today. It's sunny today. There's some wind. The sky is this color. So that kind of gave me the idea, why don't we kind of make something like that for Josh? And then you took it a step further and said...
Coming up, after Bobby Trossett Sports, we introduce a new feature for the 98 Rock Studios. The Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock.
Whoa!
That's right. The Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock is unveiled.
Yeah.
So,
I wasn't here when this idea came to be, so.
Are you familiar with?
I don't really know what the Doomsday Clock is.
The
I know
Doomsday
that it's
clock?
Like, it, doesn't it hover around like, I don't know what, I don't know.
It's the Board of Atomic Scientists that have this clock that once the clock strikes midnight, nuclear annihilation occurs. I can give you some, in the not-too-distant past, 2010, it was 6 minutes to midnight. 2015, 3 minutes to midnight. And as of 2019, because of all the dust-ups with North Korea, all the threats of them sending some effing cruise missile towards Guam, it currently sits at 2 minutes to midnight.
Doomsday clock is a symbol which represents the likelihood of a man-made global catastrophe. It's been in use since 1947, and the clock is a metaphor for threats to humanity from unchecked scientific and technical advances.
Mm-hmm. Got it. It's not just annihilation.
So why the hell are we so close to midnight? Why can't we be like 1991, we were 17 minutes to midnight.
Yeah, well, we're 2 minutes away from worldwide annihilation. And it could be a combination of things. It could be an ecological disaster. It could be maybe a passing comet that decides to stop by old planet Earth and blow its ass clean in half. Or most likely, just full worldwide nuclear
annihilation. Well, it says in 2019, it's the lack of progress on nuclear risks and the dangers of climate change.
Mm-hmm. So who knows what'll have Stella and Evan living in a Mad Max-style hellscape. So we decided to make a little version of our own. And we have the Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock.
Oh, my God.
Crafted by Hannah.
Did you make that? Who made that?
Hannah made it because she's so effing talented that like we should continue to give her money out of our own paychecks.
Oh, I love it. How long is that going to stay up there? Probably not. Are we taking it down every day?
Hannah, hop on a microphone for
me. I think when we get off the air, we should take it down every day. Otherwise, it'll wind up in a dumpster.
Yeah, that's going to be taken down and thrown away. Oh, because one person hangs a clock, and everyone else will start hanging a clock, and then they'll hang a clock, and then the whole hallway will be covered in clocks.
Oh, so, okay, so one is like, great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so should I?
Yeah, who does it?
Yeah, who does it?
Oh, Josh.
Josh.
Oh, okay. Josh does. Josh is allowed to
move his
own clock.
Josh alerts us to his own mood. Exactly. You're at a one right now?
All right, so it's 11:05.
Feeling great.
There we go. Okay, Josh, let's mix it up a little bit. We'll do some role playing here real quick. Okay. I know you were planning on leaving here around 10:05 today.
Yeah.
But we
got to tape some stuff for the TV.
We
got
to tape some stuff for the show downstairs. Oh, Erica. Oh, and it's, oh, wow, we're well past the 30 mark. It's moving to 35. It's moving to 40, 45. Okay. It is now at 11:38. Hey, Josh, someone in upper management has insulted your dog. All right. Their nickname for your dog's face. Okay.
Called it a street dog.
Yeah, face the dog. Oh, it's moving up. It is now at 11:52.
Isn't that 10? It's between 10 and 11.
Well, it's a clock, Spiegel.
Yeah. It's not like a scale of 1 to 10. It's technically a clock.
It's supposed to be a doomsday clock.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. It's the whole concept is very...
It's fantastic. It's very well thought out.
If it hits midnight, we're screwed.
It hits midnight. It's time to leave the studio and play a CD. If it hits midnight for whatever reason, we don't say anything, and we head to the door, keys in hand, and hey, Dan Jarrett, deactivate our key fob.
So that's basically supposed to mimic the minute hand of a clock, Spiegel.
I just put one arrow as if it's a prototype. Right. Let's just assume doomsday clock.
It's 11 o'clock at all times. Okay. It's always 11 o'clock. It just depends if it's 11:05 and he's
like
feeling
it.
Good. Okay. He likes it. He likes it a lot.
Okay. I like it.
Or if he starts to get messed with and someone steals his news or someone cuts him off in the middle of a very well-produced bit, he might slowly push the hands around. Will you reset it each day?
I can do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think when he comes in, whatever mood he's in, now, I don't want you to, sugarcoat things or not be honest with us. Like, if you show up and you're in a crappy mood, I want to be able alerted to that.
Yeah, start at 11:30.
Okay, I can do that.
I don't want you at a 3 when you're really at a 9. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is a clock of honesty. This is the Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock, which, Hannah, I think we should start an Instagram account for it. The Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock Instagram, that you just take a picture every day and we could document it, and maybe with a small description of what got him there, or maybe a weekly thing. You've got enough to do. Maybe for an associate producer to handle. That might not be bad. So, Josh, we hope you like your Josh Spiegel Doomsday Clock.
Very nice.
Thank you so much.
F you!
I mean, how many times?
I'd
like some respect.
Now, I'm going to quit.
Yeah, right. Well,
I'm
going to quit. Josh of my Spiegel operation. On the 99 Morning Phase 2.
Yep. Needed.
Now, can I just ask a question?
Please.
When I set it each morning, do I have to give a reason for the setting, or can I just?
Yeah, we'll see. If you come in and you set it to 11:55, I'm leaving you alone. If it's like 11:20, I'll be like, hey, what's going on, guy? But if it's like in the 50s, stand back and let him do his thing.
Oh, good.
Now you're all gonna die.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Guy by the name of Jacob Panic joined us on a Friday, and the guy is like a banjo player extraordinaire. And I'm not sure if I asked him this on air or off air, but I asked him how long he'd been playing the banjo to get to the degree that he was at, which is just expert level. And he said 7 years. And I don't know why I would have thought, I was half expecting him to be like, oh, I picked it up at the age of 5 and I never stopped playing. That kind of gives me a little bit of hope that if Hannah and I really stick to it, that maybe we could be acceptable after a while. He started in his mid-20s.
Yeah, but he's also a 33-year-old man, so he started when he was 26. But you have to imagine, up until that point, he probably started playing instruments when he was like 10.
He did say he was playing the guitar and all that. He's kind of a virtuoso. If you look at some of his videos, this is how deep in the banjo game he is. He has a banjo chair, drinking out of a banjo coffee cup, listening to banjo music on a wall covered in old banjos of his on his Instagram.
He's passionate
about his banjos. So, coming up, you're going to hear our new buddy, Jacob Panic, who, by the way, behind the curtain, behind the scenes, whatever the hell the show's called, when he got off air, the other station, BAL, grabbed him, put him on AM, and then I think someone sent him downstairs for something.
Look at that, making superstars out of people.
You're welcome, okay? Jacob, we went 10% off the top.
What if we find out he got his own TV show, and it took him like 5 minutes to do, and we had to work our whole careers to get our TV show?
Be sure to stick around after Saturday Night Live. It's Justin Scott Spiegel and Jacob Panic's Banjo Jamboree, replacing Justin Scott and Spiegel shouldn't be on TV. Our buddy Jacob Panic joined us on Behind the Curtain.
Justin, where were you?
I was at Vita Taco in Arnold, Maryland.
Vita Taco.
What's up?
Arnold, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Justin hanging out eating some tacos.
Yeah.
And there's a dude behind him picking.
He's picking hard.
He was picking hard. And Justin's like, dude, you got to be picking like that in a restaurant? And he's like, yeah, I got to be picking like that.
Yeah, I got to be picking like that. And that's when I heard this. And I turned around and I'm like, like, what majesty am I listening to right now? Mudge and I are both there. We're slopping back a couple of tacos, getting down on some pico, some tableside mashed guac. She ate it. I didn't. And we're listening to this guy just destroy a banjo behind us, like the slash of the banjo. And we're joined in studio by the gentleman now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jacob Panic. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, dude?
Hey, guys.
Dude, I am so glad to have you in here. Full disclosure. I saw you before I heard you as we walked through the parking lot. I'll set the tone for you, Scott Josh. When you pull into the parking lot of Vita, you see the outdoor seating area, and I saw a musician setting up. And I'm like, God, I just want to sit and eat a taco.
Why would you get angry about it?
Because you've probably heard some people performing where you're trying to eat before, and it sounds like someone set fire to Dave Matthews. And you're like, I'm just trying to have a ribeye, and I got a guy behind me just ruining Zeppelin. I'm like, I'm going to get this to go.
It can get ugly out there.
It can get real bad.
Yeah.
But then I just start hearing this. And my girlfriend and I, Mudge, we're looking at each other like, this dude is unbelievable. And we actually, to the point where we both turned around and sat side by side and just
ate.
That's
all about.
And watched Jacob Panic murder the banjo.
So cool of you, man. Dude, that's so cool.
I bought an album. I bought a t-shirt.
I actually remember. You told me you worked for a station.
I was like, we got to get you on because your music is incredible. Yep. Jacob Panic, good morning, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. How long have you been playing the banjo?
So I'm going on 7 years, 8 years or something. I was a guitar player beforehand.
And may I ask how old you are?
I'm 33.
Okay, so you're young. You're a young enough dude. So you started in mid-20s.
Yeah, around 25.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And what made you pick up the banjo? It's kind of come back around, hasn't it?
It's getting kind of hip, yeah.
Yeah,
it's good for business, too, especially the Mumford & Sons and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a big Americana revival.
Yeah, definitely. So I got a mandolin as a present, and it got me into bluegrass, and I heard the banjo, and I was like, I gotta learn that instrument. I have to.
Now, because of this, Justin has now ordered a banjo. Has it arrived yet?
It's showing up on Tuesday. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, in one of our meetings, she's our executive producer. Good morning, Hannah.
Morning.
She and I were talking in a meeting, and I said, this fall, this winter, I'm gonna be stuck inside a bunch, like I'm not in the summer. And I'm thinking, I think I want to play the guitar. My mom could play the guitar. My dad could play the guitar.
Everyone plays the guitar.
I feel like I have the DNA in me to be able to, but I've never given it a real honest go and thought about maybe getting a tutor, an instructor. Hannah chimes in, says, I got a banjo. I'm thinking about playing a banjo. Your name pops into my mind. I'm thinking, I know this guy, Jacob Panic. How about we both learn the banjo? We learn it over the course of like a year or so, and then like, I don't know, next summer, whatever, if we stick to it and Hannah hold my feet to the fire, we could have like a dueling banjo bad boy. Devil went down to Georgia, the crossroads action.
Isn't it like impossible to learn how to play?
It's not impossible. No, it's not.
Obviously not impossible, it's very difficult.
So the thing about it is it's actually really easy to play. It's hard to play well. It's an easy instrument to play. Once you strum it, it's an open chord.
Yeah.
So right there, you just have a G chord, all you got. But it's more the mechanical. The right hand is the main thing.
Yeah, because you got what? You got the little, what are those things called?
You're using your thumb, index finger, and
three fingers.
Middle,
three you got to go like this, Biggs. You got to three finger it. You're used to that, like a bling.
Yeah. Let me ask you, is it a trick magnet?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at this.
So it can be, I guess. Yeah. It's a little bit more interesting. I do know that not too many people play the banjo, so it sticks out a little bit more. And I'm playing out there solo a lot too, so I definitely stick out a little bit more attention grabbing. I guess.
Yeah, it's not one of those traditional instruments.
Duck the question.
Like a bass guitar, regular guitar. You got somebody back there banging on the drums. You see a guy with a banjo, and especially if you're not watching Livewire right now, you don't look like you're from Appalachia. You don't look like your family grew up in a coal mine and you had 17 siblings and only 12 of them lived.
Well, I'm glad I hide it well because that's exactly how I grew up.
I mean, you look like a dude that would be in like a metal band.
I want to be in a metal band.
You
look like
you'd
fit in
Trivium or Hatebreed or
dude, I appreciate that. Thank
whatever
you.
The hell else. You got these awesome tattoos. Your hair's all long. You kind of look like the banjo Zach Wilde.
Cool. That's what I'm going for. I appreciate it, dude. Yeah.
Give me like 20, 30 seconds or something before we jump to break because we're going to come back with you and you're going to start us on our banjo
journey.
Let's
do it. Yeah. Let's do just like a standard or something.
Hit me, man.
There's no way I'm learning how to do that.
Yeah, joined in studio by Jacob Panic. And how do you bill yourself?
Let's see. I go Jacob Panic, solo banjo rock and roll guy. Kind of long. I need to shorten that. Yeah.
Solo banjo rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of alternate universe I'm living in, but Hannah, our producer, comes walking into the studio with a case, and she has a banjo.
Hell yeah, banjo Hannah.
How long have you had a banjo?
It's been a couple months now, but I really haven't had time to get into it.
And where did you get it?
Tank bought this for me from a man that had too many instruments.
Had a surplus of banjos?
He got a good deal on it. So
that's one of those things that, Hannah, you just forget to tell us. Like, oh, I forgot to tell you guys, I'm taking a Jeet Kune Do self-defense class, and now I'm a banjo owner. Like, you got to keep us abreast as to what you're up to.
So you wanted one. And I've
been wanting one for a very long time. Yeah.
So when he got that, was it a total surprise when he bought it for you?
Yes. Complete surprise.
And how did you react?
Oh, I was so happy. Well, I was mad that he purchased it for me out of nowhere. Like, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
So, but I was, oh my gosh, I was so grateful and excited. I sat down immediately and...
What kind of musical prowess do you have? What is your resume?
I play a little bit of guitar.
Okay.
Not much, but when I started learning guitar and really getting used to it, I realized that I preferred the finger picking style. And that's what made me want to try.
Jacob, how much of that transfers? Yeah. How much translates, I should say, guitar aptitude to banjo aptitude?
It's weird. You would think it would be more than it is. I would say 70-30, more on the banjo side of it's hard. It's hard to switch over. You got the left hand coordination. That's pretty good to have with the guitar. But when it comes to the banjo, when you have the right hand going, it's kind of like learning a brand new instrument. Yeah,
is it better to start with a clean slate? Like, I've never...
Not really, no. I mean, it's really cool to have some guitar background, for sure. I mean, your left hand is probably used to playing an instrument, so that's awesome. But your right hand isn't. But now, if you're finger picking already, you're going to... It's just all about developing a feel and a mechanical feel for these strings.
Now, if you could, we have Jacob Panic in here. Would you just melt our faces for like a minute real quick to give the listeners an idea of what you can do?
So just a standard kind of fast banjo.
Whatever.
Fingers are like fire. It's like a hummingbird's wings.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Now,
we're not
expecting to get to your level ever.
You'll get there, man. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, in a year from now, I was asking you off the air, is like, if we stuck with it, and you said this is an instrument of time and patience and dedication, do your due diligence. You said in a year from now, if Hannah and I really stick with this, we could be acceptable at it?
Serviceable. Yes.
Serviceable, not embarrassing?
Absolutely. I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Now, Hannah, you've had your banjo for a few months. How many times have you played it?
4 or 5 times.
Would you be willing to give it a go right now on the air?
I mean, I don't really know. I was just learning kind of picking, you know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know anything, really. It's
Hannah,
like...
now you blow our minds.
I don't know. I was just learning.
Tilt your mic down. Tilt your mic down and do it. That sounded good to me.
Yeah.
That sounded good to me. I don't know what that was, but that sounded good.
Just practice picking stuff. I don't even remember what I just did. Oh, yeah. I don't remember. It's been so long.
Wait a minute.
I was trying some... Just practice stuff that I found online.
I'm starting from nothing. So you've already, you've shot to such a lead. Because I would one day want you and I to do a dueling banjo bit. So Jacob Panic, jacobpanic.com. Is there anything that you could show her real quick, like to maybe get her rolling a little bit?
Rolling is the key word right there. So everything that we're doing is called a roll on our banjo. We're doing rolls. Yeah. So what you were doing there was a good start. You want to get your pinky and your ring finger, plant them down on the banjo head.
Okay.
And it gives you a little bit more stability and control.
Mm-hmm.
So you had some pinches going on. I saw some of them. That was awesome. And then you have some rolls going on. So I would recommend just trying to keep an even steady kind of pacing.
Give me a roll. What's a roll?
So that would just be called a forward-backward roll. Thumb, index, middle, and then you hit this fifth string with your thumb, and then you go backward. Middle, index, thumb.
Oh, no. I'm out. My coordination is insanity.
Wait, Justin, do you want
to
try?
I'm already going on Amazon to cancel the banjo that I've ordered. By the way, the brand that I ordered, he's never heard of. That immediately, I already knew I effed up. Bring your banjo over here. We were talking off air, and Scott was asking, like, hey, what kind of banjo is that? And what kind did you get, Hannah? I was like, oh, I got an Epiphone. I'm like, oh, that's nice. I got a whatever the hell yours is. And I was like, I ordered a Jameson. You went, what? And had never heard of the brand that I got? Damn it.
Amazon, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's
where I get everything.
Yeah, I'm sure. How much did you pay for it?
$1.50.
I don't know. Is that inappropriate to ask how much your banjo costs?
It's over the thousands, I would say. Whoa. Yeah, but it's souped up. You know, I got some I got some additional parts added to it, yeah.
Jacob Panik in studio. Justin saw him. Where was it? Taco? Something?
Vida Taco.
Yeah. Or is it called Vida? Somebody said it was called something else. I don't know.
V-I-D-A, Vida.
Vida Taco.
Vida Taco. So I got it right here, all right, and I have no idea where to start. See,
okay, I can kind of see your hand a little bit. Cool. So,
okay,
no, you're fine. Put your thumb on the third string.
Okay, right there.
Get your thumb on the third string, yeah, right. And just give it a pluck. Nice. So you're in tune. That's good too. So, okay. Just what you're about to do there: thumb and middle finger.
Okay, thumb and middle finger.
So you're gonna
pick
down with your thumb and up with your middle.
Okay, so down with the thumb.
There you go. Cool. Let's get your index finger involved, and we're going to go.
We're going to talk
string numbers right now, okay? So we're going to go 3, 2, 1,
okay.
And it's going to be thumb, index, middle.
Okay. All right, here you go.
Cool. So let's pick up with the index finger. You want to get under that second string and pick up.
And then
Dude, you got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
I love the tempo build in a really good banjo song where the thing starts off with, like, you know, dun dun.
Can you play
and
like
it just takes off?
I mean, they play each. Justin and Hannah play three notes, and it sounds great to me.
I think it's just the instrument.
Is it a cool
itself.
Instrument, Josh?
Yeah, I think you're being hard on yourself.
That was terrible.
You really can't go wrong with a banjo, man. It's just
that's
fun.
I mean,
yeah, it just makes people happy.
I think it just inherently sounds good. Could you play like a song that we all know, like a cover on the banjo?
So we're on a rock station, man. Let's do
That's Metallica.
That's For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah, man. So you can kind of you can kind of have some fun with some stuff. Not really a cover anymore, but some metal style, you know. Yeah, some cool stuff. Yeah, man.
And the fact that you can sing, I've always been fascinated by like the singer guitar player, because I know that when I'm going to be doing this, my eyes are going to be locked in on all my fingers. But I saw you perform and you're not even looking down at the banjo. I mean, you're like kind of, you know, giving everyone the sweet eye in the restaurant. My girlfriend, by the way, is about to slide out of her chair looking at you.
Oh, no.
And then it's fine. She's disgusted with me physically. And I would love to get to that point one day where I can kind of like look around the room to see the reaction of what I'm getting, mm-hmm. like you. And I don't know if I'll ever get there.
No, get there, man.
Hannah, here's your banjo. Mine shows up on Tuesday, the Jameson whiskey brand banjo you've never heard of. And now I feel like I should return it.
No, it's fine. It's probably total trash.
It's probably garbage. Jacob Panik, jacobpanik.com. I'm excited for you to kind of help us along. Maybe we'll check back in a few months. Cause I think we're getting started today.
Today. Yeah. I'm all in. I love it.
I am going to return this stupid Amazon one I got. I'm going to a music store today. I'm going to buy a nice one. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. Jacob Panik, thank you very much.
Can you take us to break?
Take us out with something.
Take
Here
us
we
out
go.
With a little something.
All right, let's do it.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel. on 98 Rock.
Survival preparation. Josh Spiegel is planning for it. You'll hear in a clip coming up that you've started to stockpile some stuff, some water, raisins.
Well, for years I've been putting off being prepared for a natural disaster. And I always say I'm going to do it. And I think, you know, I talk about in the segment about, what prompted me years ago. And I just finally decided, probably after having 10 cups of coffee one day, to start ordering stuff online. And I went to a list. I didn't say this in the segment, but I went to probably like FEMA website. And because they have lists of supplies you should have for 3 days or 7 days.
Like, you got the stuff that if there is a nuclear explosion nearby, not enough to incinerate you, but enough to wash over you with radiation.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it, iodine tablets?
I think it's called iodide. And they came yesterday. It was three packs. I don't know how many tablets are in each pack, but those have been stashed away.
Well, I did a little research for you, and there's a place called Harmony House Foods. You know what they specialized in? Survival prepping dehydrated kosher foods.
Oh.
They make dehydrated kosher foods.
Oh, wow.
HarmonyHouseFoods.com, and you can do the whole thing. You can grab buckets of this, buckets of that, packs of this. You just reheat it with water. HarmonyHouseFoods.com will sell you kosher meals.
That's I will check into that.
Just because the world's exploded and civilization has fallen doesn't mean you could stop being a good Jewish boy.
Yeah, I mean, is that still on the agenda when the world falls, keeping kosher?
You're still going to meet God.
I mean, some might say it's even more important
if
you die.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
You know what? Then you make sure you don't go to hell.
Good, all the way up until the end.
I was going to say, you're probably pretty close to meeting the Almighty. You don't want to go up there with a gut full of pork chop.
Yeah, but wouldn't he be like, the world was ending. You had to eat.
You had to have a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
The only thing they had was a... There was some ribs. You had to eat the ribs.
It came down to the choice of you eating your neighbor's cat or that slice of Canadian bacon.
You had the bacon.
You had to have the bacon.
Well, look, who am I to judge?
Actually, I'm the one that does judge. I'm the Almighty. Welcome to hell, Josh. Unless, of course, you go to HarmonyHouseFoods.com. Oh. The official kosher dehydrated nuclear survival food packet of the morning show. Josh is doing himself some end of days prepping on Behind the Curtain. Josh, it says here, can I just read the schedule?
Okay.
Josh has started stocking up on disaster supplies.
What?
What?
Okay.
What type of disaster are you expecting?
Natural disaster. A few years ago, when a derecho, do you remember that word?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I don't know what it means. But it's like a really, really strong line of thunderstorms that moves across from the Midwest. It just moves for days.
A widespread, long-lived, straight-line windstorm with fast-moving, severe thunderstorms.
So that hit Baltimore, I don't know, years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And we get snowstorms and we get, you know, all sorts of disasters. And you could have a solar flare that could hit.
There ain't all the beef jerky and water in the world to handle a solar flare.
Knock out electricity. And for years, I've been saying to myself, I've got to stock up on supplies just to be able to live, to sustain myself 3 or 4 days. So I finally did it over the weekend. I finally started the stocking up. And things have already begun to arrive.
Really? What have you got?
Well, first of all, I got a beard comb. That's neither here nor there.
When there's a super volcano, you'll look your best.
But I got a giant gas can.
Okay.
For gasoline?
Is there gas in it?
It's empty right now.
Give it time. You'll fill it.
Well, what do you need gas for? I'm sorry.
If there's a run at gas stations
because of the storms,
Like in Florida, they ran out of gas days before the storm. Okay, I got a can opener for canned food. I'll get to that in a second. I got a dog first aid kit, a human first aid kit. Oh, you're going to like this one. I got to zoom in here. I got the potassium iodide pills, which you take if there's nuclear fallout to protect your thyroid.
So you don't get thyroid issues? I just drive towards where the bombs are dropping so I can get vaporized in an instant.
I'll tell you right now, as opposed to in 10 minutes.
God, hang on. Should we talk to some preppers?
I think we should, and then I think that we should do some sort of drill with Josh.
Oh, you know what you need? You need a bug-out bag. Yeah. You got to get a bug-out bag, right. And you got to stash it somewhere in the vent like Ron Swanson.
Okay, the potassium iodide, it looks like it's a pack of three.
Mm-hmm.
It's just under $20.
Let me show you this, Josh. This is courtesy of MyPatriotSupply.com because I've looked into this myself, okay. But I haven't pulled the trigger. $40, 1 week dehydrated food supply.
Oh.
It's definitely not kosher. You're going to have to put some of your Jewish ways aside when civilization crumbles. You will eat bacon when the buildings collapse.
Okay.
But they make these things for $40, 1,500 plus calories a day, 42 servings, and these things can stay fresh for up to 25 years.
Ooh.
25 years.
All right. I got 5 1-gallon bottles of water.
Mm-hmm.
Got 2 packs of raisins. This is for the food. This is going to be kept in a box.
Okay.
For food. You need food.
Got to be dry. Raisins stay good. They stay.
Well, I'm planning to keep these for a year. All the food I'm planning to keep for a year, gotcha. And then replenish. Okay, 2 bags of raisins, 2 packs of dates. Oh, God, I love dates.
Dates are good. It's nature's candy.
Had some dates in my yogurt this morning. Planters, dry roasted peanuts, a giant container.
You have a weapon?
I'll tell you what I have. I have something you gave me.
Do you? I know what it is.
I think you got it at the Dundalks.
Yes, I did.
Flea market?
Yes, I did. And it worth every penny.
It'll come in real handy.
When someone comes for your dates, someone reaches for those raisins, I'm sorry, those are my raisins. Sorry to hear about your hand.
Yeah. Ritz peanut butter crackers, 2 big boxes. I got 2 cans of mandarin oranges. Got 4 cans of sardines.
Ugh.
3 cans of baked beans. 3 20-ounce cans of beef stew.
No, think about it, though, Joe. Not really an thing. There's a purpose behind it. If he's got a bunch of sardines, black beans something, beef stew, money won't mean anything after civilization falls. Sex will be a currency. So if he is smelling like that, you think anybody is going to try and do sex on him?
Understood.
If he just reeks of gross fish and black bean chowder, no one's going to take you and make you part of a mutant brothel.
And finally, I got 2 baseball hats.
Nice.
Do you have a place to go? Because if you eat those iodine pills or whatever, you need to be a place where you underground, right? You can't just be in your house.
You could lead line the walls down there. Yeah. Not a bad idea. Make a little fallout shelter. I'm fascinated with those fallout shelters you can just buy and they bring it to your property and drop that sumbitch into the ground.
I don't have any place to go. I'm just kind of trapped in my home.
All right.
Well, it's a start.
When the world falls, we'll know where to go.
I'm not done. I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue stocking up.
Another great website to go to is wisefoodstorage.com. I've looked into this before because I'm paranoid. They sell like years worth of food.
And America, the great Americans listening, if you have any ideas for me, feel free to tweet at Josh Spiegel.